I think people are still assembling here, and that's good. Just keep coming on in. That'd be great. Hey, has somebody been dreaming of a white Christmas? Yeah, okay. Mary's been dreaming about it. Well, dreams may come true. We don't know about that. It's a white Christmas Eve. We got that close, didn't we? That's great. Yes, it is Christmas Eve. It's also the fourth Sunday of Advent. And our theme for the fourth Sunday of Advent is love. And so that's what we are celebrating today, the love of God. And guests, we're very glad to have you with us today, and sure hope on this cold day you feel warmly received here. Also want to invite everybody back for this evening. Some of us have already gathered and had a wonderful brunch, and thank you for all who helped with that. Linda, Andrea, who else? I don't know. Cindy for helping. Yeah, that was a good time. And then this evening, Christmas Eve service will be at 6:30, and kids are asked to get here a little earlier to get their costumes ready. Anybody want to say anything about Christmas Eve tonight?
Yes, Dale does.
We need some parents who bring their children to come and kind of be there to help with the costumes, because some of us who are in charge of costumes are playing bells just a little before the program starts. So we'll try to have the, if you can get here by 6:15 for sure, we can get your, show you which costumes, and you can help them get dressed, and we'll be playing bells, and then we'll be back there, and it'll all come together, believe me.
We're going to have fun. No matter what happens, we'll have fun. All right. The offering, too, this evening is for the Omega Project, as we want to help them with their remodel effort as they're building a new facility with residential units. So that's what our offering will be for the evening service. And by the way, kids, for the offering today before the children's story, we're not going to do the MCC change offering. We are going to bring up all the relief kit stuff, and we'll bring them up to the front instead. So kids, at that time, you're invited to go grab all the stuff and bring it up to the front and put it around the tree. What else we got here? Oh, I leave tomorrow for Ohio, and I anticipate being gone for the week and being back on New Year's Day. And that's the announcements I've got. What have you got? Other announcements?
I see that in you.
Don't really know who all will be here next Sunday, but it's a Meals on Wheels Sunday. Just if there are some volunteers, let me know.
If you haven't signed up to sing with the Kansas Mennonite Men's Chorus yet this year, or this coming year, you still have time. We're going to have two local concerts, well, three, I guess. We are scheduled to be the entertainment for the MCC sale Friday night, because it's the sale's 50th year, and it's the Mennonite Men's Chorus 50th year. So, you know, if you get the opportunity to join and come sing, that's great. Or if you can just come to a concert and listen, that's great as well.
Research on. Anybody know? Is it a coincidence that both are 50 years, or is that by design? Okay. All right. Some homework then for y'all for being here today is look that up and see if we can get an answer. Other announcements? No? Okay. We have gathered this morning to worship God. So as we listen to the prelude, let's set aside distractions, turn our attention to the Lord, and prepare to worship.
Thank you. Isaiah 11, 1 through 9. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hands into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters over the sea.
We wait. We trust in God. We live to love. Use the candle.
Where's the candle?
The angel announced, "With God, all things are possible."
And Mary replied, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to your word."
Let it be. Pause in silence. Amen.
Let's turn to 208. Love came down at Christmas.
Thank you.
97, Angels We Have Heard on High.
Let's come to a time of prayer through the words of Psalm 89. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. The heavens praise your wonders, Lord. Your faithfulness, too, in the assembly of the holy ones. Let's come to God in prayer. Our God, we thank you for this day. A day of gathering to worship you, and a day when we remember the approaching birth of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. God, we come into this assembly, the assembly of your holy ones, and we pray, God, that our lives might be transformed by your presence to reflect your light into the world, that Christ might be seen in us, and that Christ might change our lives. God, we pray that this time of worship might honor you and glorify you. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Song. Our offering this morning is for our local ministries. May our offering be for us today an act of worship and a sign of our lives dedicated to the Lord. Thank you. All the earth belongs to God, and it all that is in it is God's too. Let's pray. God, in this offering that we bring to you, it's just a small part of what you own. And it is a way in which we worship you. And God, we pray that through our lives we might offer all that is yours, so that by doing our small part, your kingdom may come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Well, as we go to God in prayer today, what joys or concerns that you have that you'd want to lift up in prayer? I know somebody's got a joy here to share. But maybe, I don't know if it's Sharon.
I'm not sure this is exactly a joy, more of a concern, I guess. An update on Halen. He had a real rough time this week. Wednesday, he went home having thrown up I don't know how much at school, and Spring went home with him. And in the middle of the afternoon, he told his mom, "My goal is to do this over 32 times because that's what I did the last time." So I said, "Well, Spring, I guess you have to have a goal in something, don't you?" Anyway, he didn't make that. But anyway, Spring was in tears most of the day, she said. They did call the GI again, and the doctor said, "This can't go on like this." They gave him some anti-nausea to get him through Christmas, and he is going in Wednesday for a scope on the stomach and esophagus and everything else to see exactly what's going on. And they do have an appointment, I think, in Kansas City the first week in January with a liver specialist for children. So continue those prayers for him. We just don't know what's in store. But he was pretty happy even last night. So he's a tough kid.
I'll keep holding him in prayer. Thank you for that. Well, in the season of birth, too, I thought Uncle Aaron would have something to say. But you have nothing to say? You do, okay.
I just thank you for prayers and concerns for my legs. They're doing much better.
Most of you know, but Laura and Robbie had their baby boy Wednesday afternoon, I think just before 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So all is well. They did do an emergency C-section because of irregular heartbeat with the baby, but mom and baby went home yesterday, and he was 7 pounds, 12 ounces, and 21 and a half inches long. So they're doing just fine.
Mother says 20. You're going to go with the mother. Okay. All right. Well, good. Yeah.
My aunt, Burl Isaac, she lives in Inman. She's got a son and daughter that live in Washington and one son that lives in Nebraska. They'd been trying to get a hold of her, hadn't heard from her. So they asked to have a wellness check done. And the cops went and found her on the floor in the hallway. And she had fell and been laying there for a while. So they took her to the Hutch Hospital. She'll be there till Tuesday. They said nothing was broken. They're just doing other tests. She was very dehydrated, so I just asked for prayers for her.
I like stories.
I have a story. A woman came into the grocery store, and I wrote it down as soon as I had a break. We were really busy, but she had time to tell the story. Her brother visited Kansas, and at their father's request, the brother and sister had prearranged their parents' funeral. And throughout the process, the brother shared with the sister his preferences. And in the conversation, he even revealed what he wished his resting place would be because he lives out of state. Failing to hear from her brother after his flight home, she requested a wellness check, and it was discovered that her brother had had a heart attack and died. I thought, wow, life sucks. And then we have to deal with it. The woman spoke at length about God's grace and guidance, and she sensed that he, God, had eased the way for her and her family. And I thought about all the troubles I've had, and how godly people helped me through those times. And I thought about the ways I've responded to God's call in the last few years and how others have been blessed through that. And I think that the most important prayer and praise is for eyes to see, and ears to hear God, and a heart to love God and other people.
So mom's having surgery on Tuesday, and mom's moving on Thursday. And, well, I did tell her that it'd be better if she has the surgery so we could move without her. So just prayers for a smooth surgery and recovery and that we get everything moved, you know, flawlessly. It's all going to be wonderful.
Yeah. Marie, I'm looking into your future and I'm seeing a calmer, more settled future.
I thank y'all for y'all's prayers. I fully recovered from my surgery and I just ask prayers for our neighbors, members, and our nation.
Let's go to God in prayer. God of wonder, God of mystery, God of hope and God of love, God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for this season, for this time of year. And we remember that it is worth waiting on you. Trusting you to be here. Trusting you to show up. Because even as we're surrounded by a world of darkness, a world with violence, a world of fear, a world of need, the world is still your creation. And you are here. And we are your creation. And you are with us and you come to us. So God, we find comfort in this and we find hope in this and we find the reason to live in faith and the reason to live faithfully. And we know, God, that you still come to us through angels. Angels all around us in our everyday life. Angels at the grocery store. We hear your words to us. We see you. We thank you, God. And in this season of birth, we rejoice in the birth of another new life. Little Oliver, we thank you, God, for the gift of life that reminds us, God, of just who the Creator is and what you're about. We continue to lift up Halen to you as he's dealing with health issues. We pray your healing power to him, God. We thank you that he's getting the medical care that he's getting. We thank you for the example he is to us of his attitude, his positive spirit. We hold up to you, Burl, as she recovers from a fall. Thank you, God, for alertness and that she is found and she is recovering. We pray strength to her body. We pray for Marie as she anticipates surgery on Tuesday. We pray, God, for the physicians, for those who attend her. We pray for her recovery. And we pray, God, for her willing spirit to do her rehab. And that she may sit still on Thursday when she and Jeff anticipate moving. Thank you, God, for the way in which step by step you have led the way through a lot of stuff that they've had going on. We hold up to Troy's concern for his neighbors, and we share in that concern for our nation, that we might aspire to be the people that we say we long to be, and that we might not sell ourselves short by being anything less. We pray, God, for your church in this country, that we might be truly the voice of Jesus, your call to us through him. And we pray for your church around the world, that we might be the living presence of Jesus in this world, and that Christ might be seen and known, and that people might know Christ through us. We pray this in his name. Amen. Children, we want to get the relief kits up here and put it around the Christmas tree. So let's see what we got.
Okay, for just a few numbers for the kits, we had enough stuff to complete 11 kits, and then just to go through some numbers, like on the soap, we had enough for 13 kits. On the shampoos, we had enough for 24 kits. The laundry soap, we had enough for 47 kits. Toothbrushes, 15 kits. Towels, 11 kits. Tooth combs, 11 kits. Fingernail clippers, 12 kits. Bandages, 25 kits, and the sanitary pads, 12 kits. So we are so excited. Thank you all who brought and helped, and the kids all helped counted. So yeah, it was a good time. Thank
wow.
you.
Thank you. I'm gonna put this over here. We can use that. Wow, look at all this stuff. That is awesome, isn't it?
You know,
Can you touch all that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Can you? Yeah? Yeah? Do you know what? You can touch it right now, but just think about this. Think about this. All that stuff that we've got right here in front of us that you can touch is going to go around the world. And other people are going to touch it at some point. So this stuff, it's here with us now, but pretty soon it will be somewhere else in the world. Isn't that kind of amazing to think about? I think that is amazing.
It's going to be anywhere nice.
Yeah. So just think about how long your arms are. You can touch it here, but you can also send it all around the world. You've got very long arms. Well, speaking of touching it, let's go ahead. Let's bless this stuff as it goes from here to other places. So put your hands on it. Let's put our hands on it since we gathered it up here. Can everybody find something? Can you get your hands on up there? Sure. All right. All right. You got it? Okay. All right. God, thank you for helping us to gather these things, and we pray, God, that you might use our work to go to touch other people's lives all around the world, and they might use these things and be blessed by them. Thank you, God. Use these for your kingdom. Amen.
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 That's good.
Okay, now, today, you're ahead of me, aren't you? Yeah, you're always two steps ahead. There you go.
Can I do this one?
I'm going to read the story. You're going to read it. I didn't know that. Okay. Well, this is about love. And can you see? Can everybody see? Okay. Can you see? All right. This is a story about love. And these. Why not? Wait a minute. I really want your sister in here too. I do. She needs to be here too. All right. These are.
Hedgehogs.
What is a hedgehog?
It's a little animal that looks like a porcupine.
It does kind of, that's what I thought it was, a porcupine. It's a hedgehog. Okay. Mama, little one asked through a yawn, how big is love? Well, Mama raised her eyebrows. I'm really having trouble here. Okay.
Every, come here.
All right. There you go. We are talking about love, so that's a good thing to keep in mind.
That is a good question.
Mama, little one asked through a yawn, how big is love? Well, Mama raised her eyebrows. That's a good question. Is love brighter than the sun?
Yes, it is.
Is it longer than this ride? They're riding a bicycle, everyone.
Yes,
Mama smiled. Love never ends. It's kind of like the Bible says that. Love never fails. Mm-hmm. Is love stronger than daddy? Mama giggled, yes. Tougher than these muscles? Believe it or not, Mama grinned, yes. Is love even more than all the stars in the skies? Yes, Mama answered, much, much more. But Mama, little one looked right in her eyes, is it bigger than the moon? Yes, little one, Mama said, God's love is the biggest, strongest thing in the world. The universe, the little one corrected. The universe, Mama agreed. Mama, little one yawned, just how does love get so big? That, little one, is the most important part, Mama said, pulling him close. Our love grows every time
we give it away.
Every time we give it away, love grows. Okay, that's kind of neat. The more you give, the bigger it gets, huh? All right. That's kind of like what we're doing with this here, isn't it, with these relief kits. Okay. And hearing that, little one gave Mama a great big hug. And there's a Bible verse that goes with this. Do you see that Bible verse there?
But now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love. Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 13:13. Yeah, and you can look that up in your Bible. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now these three remain. Faith, hope, love. And the greatest of these is?
Love.
All right, so we've got in this sack here. Got it? Okay.
Can I do
that. Now, what do you think is in here?
Hershey Kisses.
How did you know that?
I don't know.
My goodness. What a good thing.
Can I pull it out?
What a good thing to remind us of love, isn't it? Because we got kisses. Okay. Now, there are plenty of kisses for everyone. You want to? All right. Now. How do you know that?
You don't get the whole thing.
Okay.
Everybody gets three.
All right. Everybody takes one, I think, at this point. Everybody take one. One kiss for everybody. You ever been kissed in church?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it looks like there's more, you know what, there is more than, but I'm going to do something here. Yeah. Okay. Now, you want to take a second one? We got plenty. Second one? Okay. Want to take a second one? A second kiss? Two kisses. Okay. two kisses? You got two?
Three.
All right.
We can have three.
You got.
Maybe.
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do with the others here.
Do you know what we're going to do?
Okay.
You guys throw them out.
Everybody take one more kiss, so you all have three. Okay? And then, now don't go anywhere. And take that third kiss. All right? Everybody got three? Okay. Take that third kiss and throw it out there. Throw a kiss. That's how you spread the love. All right. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I think I hit it.
There you go. Oh, you think so? I don't know.
I like
there
this.
There you go.
Oh, Dad got right. One.
That's... All right. One more there, and that's it. Okay, there you go. All right, thank y'all. Yeah.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
I like how you read that, Nancy. It's such a down-to-earth story. Well, it was during a time of trouble that Paul McCartney had a dream. His mother, Mary, who when he was but a young lad of 14, died of breast cancer. And she came to him in a dream. And in his troubled state, she spoke to him words of wisdom and comfort. She said, "Paul, let it be. Let it be." McCartney said he awoke from his dream and he wrote the song. And that song brings to mind the words of the other Mary, doesn't it? The one in Luke chapter 1, who during her own time of trouble said, "Let it be to me according to your word." "Let It Be" has become a classic song, and it was written by an immensely talented group, the Beatles. John, Paul, George, and Ringo. But of these four Beatles, it is Ringo who is regarded as the least talented. It's like the old joke goes, right? What do you call the guy who's always hanging around with the musicians in the band? The drummer. Ringo was the drummer for the Beatles. He never wrote a song. Couldn't sing all that well, and some would tell you he didn't even play the drums all that well. But when confronted with that criticism, Ringo has an answer. He says, "I was a Beatle. What more needs to be said?" Good point. Joseph was the earthly father of Jesus. What more needs to be said? Have you ever noticed that in all the Bible, Joseph nowhere is recorded as having uttered a word? We know he must have spoken, but no one bothered to write anything down that he said. No one bothered to record his words. The only record we have of Joseph is silence. Now, if you were in charge of the children's Christmas program, and you had to find a part for little Johnny, who maybe was easily distracted and maybe lacking in some social graces, and you just might want to consider the part of Joseph for him. Because Joseph has no lines. He doesn't have to say a thing. He just has to show up and follow Mary around. The shepherds and the angels, they all have lines to say. Mary has this dramatic challenge of trying to appear full of wonderment and this maternal radiance. And even the imaginary innkeeper, and there is no innkeeper in the Bible, right, Donna? Even the imaginary innkeeper usually has a line. But Joseph, well, you know, you just follow Mary around and try to stand behind her. Don't fidget too much and don't say anything. Does this silent man, Joseph, have anything to say to us? Well, he was the earthly father of Jesus. The father of the one who taught us to think of God and to call God Father. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? What more needs to be said about Joseph? Joseph steps out onto the world stage in this Gospel of Matthew, and it's under the most awkward and humiliating of circumstances. Joseph's probably an old man, maybe a widower. By the age of Jesus' baptism, he seems to be gone from the scene. Joseph probably died sometime between Jesus at age 12 and Jesus at age 30. Matthew 1 reads, Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. The parents of a daughter would enter into a legally binding and public agreement, pledging their daughter to marry a certain man when she became of age. And the girl would continue to live with her parents, and then at the right time, there would be a ceremony, and she would then move into her husband's family's household, and the marriage would be consummated. However, for Joseph, there was this most disturbing irregularity in this prescribed sequence. The girl pledged by the parents would come to the groom already pregnant. By whom? How humiliating. How insulting this must have been. Did they take Joseph to be a fool? Or were they just trying to make him look like one? Mocked or gossiped about by the neighbors, the talk of the town. Did you hear about old Joseph? Now, Joseph could have called the whole thing off right then and there and publicly insist on his self-respect and his innocence. And most would have expected Joseph to do exactly that. He could have taken the offensive and done so quite publicly and quite loudly, exposing their deceit, put the shame where it belongs. Bring shame on Mary. Bring shame on her family. Clear his own good name. He could have done this. And he had the right to do that. And it would have been expected. The Bible says that Joseph was a righteous man, which means he knew the law, he followed the law, and the law was clear and the law was on his side. There would have been a public trial for adultery, a public divorce from the pledge, and a public shaming for Mary and her family. And a righteous man would have been expected to do this, and Joseph was a righteous man. The law was on his side. But Joseph was also a man who knew mercy and compassion and love. The Bible says he was not willing to expose Mary to public disgrace. So he planned to call the marriage off, but call it off quietly, this silent man. The law of righteousness was clear, and yet this silent man set that aside. He set righteousness aside in favor of mercy and compassion and love for Mary. Even at his own expense. I'll say that again. He set righteousness aside in favor of mercy, compassion, and love for Mary, even at his own expense. So does this silent man, Joseph, have anything to say to us? Well, we're beginning to hear from him now, aren't we? We're beginning to hear from his heart and his character and his soul. A silent man, a righteous man, and yet a man of mercy, compassion, and love. A man chosen to be the earthly father of the one who taught us to call God Father. What more needs to be said? Oh, how about that he was a man of spiritual sensitivity? Joseph has a dream. Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The child within her is of the Holy Spirit, a child of God. Now, I barely remember my dreams. The ones I do remember usually are pretty weird. But Joseph's dream is the voice of God. And he knows it. And he hears it. And he understands. In fact, this is one of four dreams that Joseph has in the New Testament here, where God speaks to him and he hears and he understands and he obeys. A spiritually sensitive man. So Joseph wakes up from his dream, and it says, he did as the angel of the Lord instructed and took Mary as his wife. So does this silent man have anything to say to us? Absolutely he does. Dave Hope, the former bass player for Kansas and a recently retired Episcopal priest, wrote a commentary on Luke. It's called Looking at Luke Through the Eyes of Hope. And he writes, sometimes I wonder how the other saints like Paul and Peter and James will regard Joseph when we all get to heaven. Will he be seen as a great hero? Or great because of all the spiritual revivals he led? Or the powerful miracles that he did following his preaching and teaching? You and I both know that none of these things will appear on Joseph's rap sheet in the heavenly files. Then why would Joseph be highly esteemed in God's eyes? For me, of all the good things Joseph did, the one that stands the tallest is when he chose not to denounce Mary when he had the chance. I'm sure God will remember Joseph for many things, but I believe Joseph's greatest legacy will be the silent example he set for his boy, Jesus. Without fanfare or complaint, Joseph gave up his life to cover the shame of the person he loved. And by the way, isn't that what Jesus did for you and me? That right there is the path of greatness. A life lived for greatness. Joseph, the earthly father of the one who, it is written, emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Does this silent man, husband, and father have anything to say to us? Remember, God not only chose Mary, God chose Joseph. A man never recorded in the Bible as having spoken a word, and yet spoke volumes. A man who allowed himself to be publicly humiliated, who chose not to denounce Mary when he had the chance, when he had the expected opportunity, but without fanfare and complaint, set aside his life, his self-interest, to cover the shame of the person he loved. He was chosen to be the earthly father of Jesus. And now we know why. Joseph lived as a man of greatness, and we can too. Live like Joseph. Live like Joseph, and you will live your life for greatness. Amen. Let's pray. God, we seem to hear a lot about greatness and what greatness supposedly looks like. But really, what does it mean to be great? And what does it mean to live our lives for greatness? Joseph has a lot to say to us about that. Joseph, a man of mercy, compassion, love, self-sacrifice. And you have shown us, God, what truly great lives look like. So now may we live that direction. A way that really is within reach of all of us. So Lord, may we also be great like Joseph. Amen. What child is this? And we will stand as we sing. Joseph was a man of greatness. Because the greatest of all is love. Go forth, as God went forth in love through Christ to a world of darkness. Go forth in love. Amen. See you tonight.